In classic fairy tales, a commonly used trope is that a heroine is woken from a magical sleep, freed from a slumber akin to death by true love's kiss. In Snow White and Sleeping Beauty, we see this scenario play out as expected. However, in some fairy tales, Beauty and the Beast, or The Princess and the Frog, for instance, a man must be kissed in order to set him free from the prison of a beastly shell. Tell me, Will, if I kiss you on the mouth, will I too be set free?
I don't know, Dr. Lecter. I've never been very good at kissing.
Shut up and kiss me, Will!
It's cool that we've pivoted to being a Hannibal fan cast.
Yeah, welcome to Pitch Shift. We are a Hannibal fan cast. Welcome to Pitch Shift.
We're a Fannibal hand cast.
Fannibal cast. We are a pop culture podcast where we like werewolves and other flesh-eating monsters. What we are is that we are a podcast that takes songs and turns them into pitches for films. And sometimes takes TV shows and turns them into pitches for films.
Sometimes we just pitch better versions of things that already exist, which I think is what Charles is going to do today. By the way, that's Charles. I'm Tansy, and
we are joined for the third time. It's the third time, right? Yeah, by Hellman Award-winning director and recovering Raylo, Pierce Wilcox. Welcome to the podcast, Pierce.
I don't like that this has become a thing. I'm not a Raylo.
I just think it would be nice if they kissed more than once.
What if we kissed in the what's that place called again?
Exegol.
What if we kissed
on the ground in Exegol and you gave me your life force and then no one was happy?
Unless.
This whole pitch is about to be, what if we kissed at the crime scene?
Unless. What song are you actually tentatively or tangentially doing today, Charlie?
So, as I hinted at in that open, it is Troy Sivan's Bite.
Kiss me on the mouth and set me free. Sing me like a choir. I can be the subject of your dreams. Your sickening desire. Don't you want to see a man up close? A phoenix in the fire, so kiss me on the mouth and set me free, but please don't bite.
Which is a song about having gay sex.
I was gonna say, this song does fuck. Like,
yeah, this song
yeah,
fucks.
Yeah, this song fucks.
This song has quite a gay fuck.
I heard this song for the first time when you sent it to me, and you sent to me what was ostensibly the lyric video, but was in fact simply the word bite with a powerful strobe effect behind it for 3 minutes and 27 seconds. So I stared at it, thinking I'd had an epileptic fit, slowly spiraling into a hallucinatory state.
So instead of saying, like, kiss me on the mouth and set me free, it just said, like,
bite, 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 bite.
It was just the single word bite with a light flashing behind it.
It's weird, that they replaced all the audio with the seagulls from Finding Nemo saying bite.
Bite.
Bite. Bite, 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 bite.
I felt like I was in The Future Liberals Want, in which in A Clockwork Orange, instead of watching like videos of torture, you just watch Troy Sivan's Bite lyric video and you come out and you're like, well, I guess I'm gay now.
Yeah. The actual dream is that it would be Troy Sivan's Bloom, which is the Troy Sivan song about bottoming for the first time.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's step two of the re-education.
Yes, it is. It's also going to be the sequel to this film. No, I haven't written a sequel to
this. So should we explain, like, what actually started this whole pitch?
Yes, yep. So the reason that I asked Pierce to be here for this pitch, other than the fact that Pierce is good and we have good bands.
And it's nice to have someone to bully for once.
And yeah, also that. Yeah, we don't like to bully each other, and if Saro's on, I get bullied, so, you know.
No, I'm obviously the bottom point of whatever triangle I'm entered into.
You're obviously the bottom of this group.
Having watched Bloom, I'm now ready to bottom for this group. That's what that is, right? I don't know what bottoming is. It's when you come on a podcast and the two main hosts bully you, right? That's bottoming?
Yes, yeah, that's what it is.
Cool. Okay, my name's Pierce Wilcox. I'm a bottom. Is that... I'll put that on my dating profile. Is that what happens?
No, it needs to go on your CV.
Oh, right. But I include links to the podcast.
Except for when he comes onto the podcast and is Ben Mendelsohn. Then he's a top.
Well, yes.
Because Mendo's a top.
Men Mendelsohn is a top.
He likes men. And he likes Bendelsohning.
Yeah. Bend it like Bendelsohn. Anyway, sorry, I've cut you off. Please explain more about me.
Well, no, it's because I was having a shit week and we were sharing memes. Mm. And Pierce shared that meme. It's like a Reddit screenshot where this guy's talking about how he and his partner have like a bit where they'll talk like Hannibal from the NBC show Hannibal, which is basically just that you tell a convoluted, unrelated anecdote.
Yeah, convoluted metaphor. Tell me, Will.
And then you go, tell me, Will. And then the reply to that has to then be something along the lines of like, well, I don't know, Dr. Lecter. And then like a kind of a bitchy rejoinder to the metaphor.
Which is also somehow self-deprecating.
Yes. Yeah. No, Will Graham hates himself. But so, I'm pulling a quote from our group chat here to explain how I got to this. Mm-hmm. I think Tansy had written, we were talking about the show being, because I was also watching Hannibal this week, which I found disappointing. Anyway, Tansy wrote something like, tell me, Will, is it better to die young and live on in the imagination or risk a longer run and the slow withering of time?
Yeah, because we were talking about the fact that it was cancelled after 4 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah,
three.
And Pierce said, well, I don't know, Dr. Lecter, I've never had much of an imagination. And then I said, as me, Will, that's a filthy lie, your imagination is almost as overcranked as you, as your anxiety, you little crime-solving twerp. And then, and then
did
that
you say twerp? I misread that as twink.
Yeah, I would have thought it was twink. But...
No, it was twerp. I did write twerp.
Oh, there you
but
go.
But so, as a response to that, Tansy and Pierce and I started joking about what if Hannibal, but... instead of Mads Mikkelsen, it was Billy Eichner.
Which I think, like, that show would have gotten 7 seasons, so...
I mean, in some ways, that show is the seasons of American Horror Story that Billy Eichner is in. But yes,
yeah.
Not that Mads Mikkelsen isn't fantastic, but, you know, I just feel... So it was that thing where I started thinking about that and the idea that, like, his kind of sarcastic, acerbic energy... would end up being, weirdly enough, a great cover for the fact that he was doing the murders, because it'd be like, oh, sure, I killed that guy.
Oh, yeah, well,
okay,
I killed him.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti, and then runs away like Billy on the street.
Yeah, yeah, Hannibal screaming directly in people's faces that he did the murders, and then
fleeing. Yeah, and everyone's like, ha, 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 oh, that's a funny joke. Oh, yeah. So funny. Oh, very funny. And, like, gets away with it like that.
Literally gets away with murder.
Yeah, how to?
How to.
That's how.
So what this podcast is that basically Charles is going to take a song, in this case, Troy Sivan's Bite, and he's going to pitch us a film as if Pierce and I are high-ranking Hollywood producers, I guess. Yeah, so Charlie's basically just going to pitch Hannibal, but it's Troy Sivan and it's also Billy Eichner.
Yeah.
Can I share, before we jump into it, can I share 3 of my favourite facts that are tangentially related to Hannibal?
Go for it. Share away.
Okay, so for context, I have not watched this series. I only recently saw Silence of the Lambs. I read the book before I saw the movie. But the show, they had issues with censorship on NBC. Because
it's astonishing they got away with any of it. Yeah. My mind is blown.
Yeah, yeah. Because American censorship is cooked, particularly on network TV. So, you know the episode where they split the people's backs open into angel wings?
Yep.
Yeah.
Haunting.
Yeah. So they'd shot that and they showed it to the network and the network were like, you cannot show that. You can see these guys' butt cracks.
Oh my God.
That's against our nudity clause.
That's,
and so Brian Fuller, the producer and showrunner, was just like, well, what if we filled their butt cracks with blood, sarcastically? And then they got a note from legal being like, yes, that will be fine. Fact number 2, pretty tangential, but Hugh Dancy's married to Claire Danes, and I think that's cute.
Yeah, it's so weird. And he ended up in the final season of Homeland.
Yeah.
Playing the biggest jerk in the universe.
Hugh Dancy's cute. That's who's cute.
Yeah, he is. And fact number 3, when Mads Mikkelsen was asked if he wanted to be in the Bitch Better Have My Money music video, He turned to his kids and was like, who's Rihanna? And his kids were like, are you fucking kidding me? Fuck you, Dad. And then he said, I really wanted to be in the music video, though, so I did it because I am a bitch.
And yeah, and whenever he's asked about Rihanna and the song, he's like, well, you know, it's an amazing piece of work, but I have a really soft spot for that work because I am, after all, the bitch.
Yep. So those are my three Hannibal facts. I should have
Pierce to do the cold open. Yeah. Pierce could do a good Hannibal.
Tell me, Charles, would you rather I do the cold open and strip you of your beautiful opening, or would you rather you do it and save the pleasure for later?
Well, I don't know, Dr. Lecter. Why don't you shut the fuck up?
All right, should we dive into this pitch?
Yeah, so the last little bit of... Okay, so this is loose because I got to the point where I realized that I could only do it if it was kind of like a general outline with some bits fleshed out and other bits yada-yada'd, or I was going to write this entire script.
Okay.
Like, there was no in-between for me. Also, so what I've done with this is one of the other discussions that I've been having with these two crazy kids as my housemate and I have been watching Hannibal is whether or not Hannibal is camp. I think it's not. Pierce believes it is. I pulled the gay card. Pierce pulled the I have a friend who's a gay academic card. And so... by the time we got to the end of the season, I was too busy being angry about everything that gets done to Will that I forgot to kind of reevaluate whether or not I thought it was camp. And the answer is I don't really know. But what I wanted to do with this is kind of do my attempt at a camp Hannibal Lecter story.
I like to think that when Charlie writes, it's like when they drive cars in Fast and the Furious, there's a button called NOS that's introduced really early on, and then late they have to push it and the flames come out and the car goes fast. And Charlie has a little button somewhere on the keyboard that says camp. And the hand is just drifting towards it, and they're like, no, it's not time yet. We got to save that. So I'm excited for you to slam that NOS camp button.
Oh, I'm slamming the camp.
I also just love any like university educated arts graduate trying to describe Fast and Furious is one of my favorite things. How does the car work, Pierce?
It's three nerds trying to talk about Fast and Furious.
Well, Tansy, car go fast. And I think it was Deleuze and Guattari who first said that the car itself is an expression of man's desire to conquer, go forward, and go fast, fast lots.
But that's the thing. You've got a fast car. I have a ticket to fast, anywhere?
Fast.
The more fast man go, the more man...
And go furious?
The fury.
You'll find that the degree to which fast is directly correlates to the degree to which furious.
What's that Macbeth quote? It is a tale told by an idiot, full of fast and furious. Furious.
Oh my god. Okay.
All right, let's pitch this movie.
Yes, yeah, let's pitch this. Casting that you need to know right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hannibal Lecter is Billy Eichner. Will Graham. So in an ideal world, this would be a John Waters film in which Tab Hunter and Divine were still alive, but that's not possible. Mm. So in terms of like good looking, moderately talented, you know, kind of fresh faced, gay actors that are currently working.
Troy Sivan?
No. So my two picks that are kind of interchangeable, I've got Colton Haynes or Brandon Flynn.
Okay.
Teen Wolf.
And in Arrow.
Oh, I mean, I just know him from Teen Wolf as, you know, the one that was the aggressive, repressed gay who, and then it turned out that he himself was a repressed gay. And Brandon Flynn is from 13 Reasons Why. I'm leaning more towards Colton Haynes just because he's a little bit closer to Billy Eichner's age. And then as Clarice Starling, because I'm bringing in all the various elements, is this my fix-it for Silence of the Lambs as well? Maybe. As Clarice Starling, Kiki Rodriguez, who is one of the two trans actors in Tangerine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And then as Jacqueline Jackie Crawford, is a former contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race, Ginger Minj. Anyway, okay, so first scene.
Yeah.
We've got Will Graham in a quote-unquote interview with a suspect, but he's staring and kind of intimately closing his eyes and doing the Will Graham thing, you know, the this is my design thing from Hannibal. And so it doesn't look like anything really is going on. And the witness is just kind of like sitting there like, are you going to do anything? And then so we see from the other side of the two-way mirror, there's a detective and another officer. And the officer's like, why is he doing that? And it's like, oh, it's his method. You know, he has a finely tuned sense of empathy. He can get into the mind of any serial killer and just like ascertain their motives. And he doesn't even need to touch a piece of evidence to figure it out. And the officer's like, well, that sounds like a bunch of bullshit to me. And it's like, no, just wait.
Yeah, it sounds like he's just doing the Bo Burnham prolonged eye contact thing.
Yes.
When you describe it in that way, this is clearly a show about a person who's psychic. I can't believe I never put it together before. It's just that show medium.
he's the boy with the most feelings in the whole world.
He does have a lot of feelings, and those feelings allow him to feel the feelings of others. He's an empath, you know? He's an introvert an empath.
He's basically an X-Men mutant. Anyway.
So being an introvert, the pandemic's good for him, but being an empath, it's very bad.
Sounds like a power bottom, but go off.
Yeah. So he emerges from the interview room and he takes a deep breath and is kind of, you know, solemn. And it's like, what do you got, Will? And so he's like, okay, so all the witnesses say that these were panther attacks, but why would a panther only target attractive people? So this immediately this goes all the way, like all the seriousness goes out the window. And it's like, what? It's like, yeah, the victims were all hot, and that's not something that a panther would know. So obviously human judgment is involved. It's like, so you think the killer is someone who owns a panther? Like he released the panther on his victims to make it look like it was like random animal attack? And it's like, no, I think you're going to find a man with a panther who thinks he may have done these murders, but he won't be the man. And then someone comes in, someone comes in and is like, so we found animal fibers on the victims. It's some kind of big cat. The detective is like, shut up. So you're saying the man with the panther didn't do it? And Will's like, no, but he will have a friend who's probably a doctor, maybe a veterinarian, who will have convinced his friend that it may have been him and his panther while they were drunk. The detective's like, so you're saying the panther was drunk too? And Will's like, yes, how else would the panther not remember what it was doing last night? The other guy comes back in and is like, sir, we have a confession. And Will's like, does he have a panther? And the guy's like, yes. And it's like, then he's not the killer. Who's his best friend? And there's a pause. And the guy goes, it's a vet. His name is, it's like, whoever he is, arrest him. And then he turns back to the detective and he's like, you weren't looking for a man with a panther. You were looking for a man who is a panther. And then the detective goes, thank you. Oh, God damn it, Will. You've done it again. Everyone rushes off to make the arrest. The officer who like came in earlier is left in the room with Will and is just kind of like looking at him in amazement and goes like, how do you do that? Like, that's like a, it's like you're psychic. Like, how do you just understand everything about a killer's motives? And Will goes, 1943, The Leopard Man, starring Dennis O'Keefe. It's a classic. People really should watch more movies. And he leaves. So here's my thing with this. This is the take I'm basically approaching this with, is that Will is, instead of being the superboy with all the feelings, just a guy who's got like an encyclopedic pop culture knowledge in particular for like horror and true crime. No resemblance at all to anyone who's currently...
Yeah, I was going to say, it's cool that you wrote Will Graham to just be you.
Yeah, a little bit.
So this is a self-insert fix-it fic.
So, yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, I'll own that.
So he's watched all the movies, and so he can tell what has inspired the killers to do their kills.
I think sometimes it's that, and sometimes he's just like, this reminds me of a movie. It's this, and like gets it close to right more often than not. I feel like it's that, like he's a what's that fucking movie? Is it Talented Mr. Ripley?
I was going to say, is he maybe from Arrested Development? Like,
marry
like,
me.
It's, that, like, he's a you know, a beautiful con who it's like, oh, yeah, he's got, like, so much experience in the field. And it's like, does he, though? It's like, yeah, so he when, never gets so anything wrong. It's like, but doesn't he, though?
So when he closes his eyes, he's not, like, empathetically projecting himself into the mind of the killer. He's just rewatching a movie he likes.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. This is my design piece. So, we got that. Then we got the next scene is like a, you know, kind of elaborate dream sequence that involves like erotically framed, you know, kind of artfully placed men's bodies covered in blood. We see that they kind of look a little bit like Tom of Finland drawings, and just in the way that the bodies are kind of, the way that they look. Like, they don't look like anatomically realistic men because they've got that Tom of Finland shape. And then, and one of the things that we see is a hand with like a noticeable ring on it. And then we transition into,
Charles, let's pretend I don't know what this is. What is that? What is that Tom of Finland shape? What makes it so special?
Okay.
I can feel you getting exhausted.
I mean, how to describe, dummy thick. Like a whole Dorito man, but then the Dorito man also has like pear shaped thighs.
Yep.
It's like the broad shoulders, the teeny tiny waist, the
ramping in your face,
and then just weirdly large thighs.
Yeah, so yeah. If you were to eat a person, that would look real appealing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh no, but I tried to hide, but I'm so dummy thick. The clap of my ass cheeks attracted Hannibal.
Yep, that's it. I think this is kind of a repeat of the previous scene in that I'm doing another fake out of, you think this is Hannibal, but it's not Hannibal. We see, it's like, we cut to like a very sweaty, panting Will Graham, and it's like, oh God, he had a nightmare. But it's actually then just a hard cut to a scene of him doing a fuck. And then, and then we get our introduction to Dr. Lecter. So the first thing that we see is the ring on the hand, because I'm not fucking around with, it's like from the beginning, much like NBC's Hannibal, I'm like, it's him. He did it. This is we're getting into some yada yada territory here. Yep. Third scene is that we get our introduction to Dr. Lecter. We see the ring on the hand, and you kind of widen out to his like templed fingers. He's much like Mads Mikkelsen's Hannibal, supremely well dressed and well kempt.
But Billy Eichner.
But yeah, sort of walking. Yeah, and walking a walking a line of like refined kind of effete elegance and outright kind of sarcastic acerbic screaming. So you get him, he's like in a therapy session with someone, and it's the thing where you get like one of those extended metaphor things. Mm-hmm. And then his patient replies and he's like, oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah, so we get a quick little scene that's introducing him and the way that he kind of again, like, is constantly on the verge of just like losing his entire shit and screeching at people, but like kind of wants to maintain this air of like, I'm a serious man. Mm. Next scene, Will is in Jackie Crawford's office, discussing the various crimes.
All the crime.
You know, and it's like, oh, you know, I wanted to say good work on Panther Man.
Panther Man.
It's pronounced Panther Man.
Pantherman. Anyway, good work on the Pantherman. But you know, how are you, like, mentally? You know, I know that the level of empathy that you have to go to must take a toll on you, and I need you to tell me if you ever get in too deep, because I don't want anything to happen to you. And you kind of cut to like Will just like inspecting his nails, and he's like, oh yeah, sure, yeah, big toll, yeah, I'm fine, it's cool. Whatever. And so Jackie is like, the killer that we have come to refer to as the Finland Flesher has killed again. And Will comments, it's like, oh, the kills are getting closer together. Ah, yes, you see the pattern. And Will kind of says, look, if I've told you once, I've told you a thousand times, what you're looking for is a repressed homosexual. And Jackie's like, all right, okay. Well, I mean, okay, it's a bit soon to be leaping to that kind of assumption. There's only been 36 of them so far. And it's not easy to just make a call like that. Will is like, well, he's seeking out the same kind of like brutish, strong, heteromasculine specimen each time. He kills them, he guts them, he takes various organs, and then dresses them up like Tom of Finland sketches. Why are you so determined for it not to be that he's gay? And Jackie kind of explains that it's out of fashion to blame latent homosexuality for serial killers, and is like, you remember the backlash that Cruising got? And Will says, oh, well, I mean, I wasn't born then. And Jackie's like, Jesus Christ, you're so young. I hate you so much. I want to kill you every day. Anyway, okay. But see, the thing is that it's really just not the fashion to blame the gays anymore. What is in fashion is to blame it on the trap. And at that point, the door opens and enter Clarice Starling, trans investigator at the FBI. And it's like, oh, hi, Clarice. And Clarice is like, yeah, you wanted to see me? And then so we get our next like sequence, which is the introduction to Clarice. And it's basically just a sequence of various kind of microaggressive encounters. And the bit that I want to keep happening here is that it's just like you kind of see her in a lot of different like lectures and conversations and investigations that she's in where someone will assume that the killer is trans. And it'll be like, oh, you know, this killer is murdering women and then taking their skin. And someone will be like, sounds like the work of some sort of transsexual. And that's my
is there a chance for her to actually say the line from Silence where she's like, there's no correspondence between transsexualism and violence in the literature, which was progressive, but in retrospect, what she goes on to say is very problematic.
I like the idea that she uses, like, that she uses that line just, like, every single time with increasing, like, impatience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it would be like, oh, you know, this killer's killing women by stabbing them with a pair of stilettos, and someone will be like, that sounds like some kind of transsexual. And she'll be like, well, what if the killer is a cis woman? It's like, normal women don't have feet that big. Or kill people. Biological women, like natal women, like non-deviant women. I'm so sorry about that. That was bad. Let's all do a pronoun round. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The
professor of criminology is called Rowling.
But yeah, just even things like, you know, oh, this killer is exclusively killing conventionally attractive women. Could be some kind of transsexual. And she's just like, I'm gonna fucking
kill you.
And then we get our first proper, like, murder sequence. And you've got kind of three different murders cut together. You've got a family having their throat slit in their beds. You've got someone carving up a recently killed man. What's happening there? And then also you see a very, very butch man in a cameo by one of the many ridiculous heterosexual actors that are in like Marvel movies or whatever. Which ridiculously heterosexual man do we want to kill? Take your pick.
Which Chris are we killing?
Let's go Pine, just because we love the smell of pine in the morning.
Pine fragrance.
Like Chris Evans is in some ways really like just so close to being that Tom of Finland shape. Because he got that Dorito body and he got that tight little butt.
Them thick thighs.
He is dummy thick in that Captain America outfit.
All right, so we'll put dummy thick Evans in.
Dummy thick Evans. Being chased through a park. We cut to the next day. The family is discovered by the police. People are noting, you know, like things about the murders, and then someone notices that there's bite marks in each of them. Someone yells like, "Get me Will Graham!" And then we see the Finland Flesher murder discovered, which is the dead Chris Evans. And someone's like, "Get me Graham!" And he's on a different. Oh, he can't make it till. Okay. Just let him know that there's been another one. And then the third murder is discovered. We don't see the body at first, and it's like, "Get me! Oh, for fuck's sake, really? Well, he's not here."
He's busy.
Who else do we have? And so we get then Clarice at this third murder scene.
Ever since we defunded the police and put all the money into empathy people, there's not enough empathy people to go around.
Yeah. Yep. Wait, surely it's the other way around. They put more money into the cops and they defunded the empathy police.
No, you see, empathists have to be born. They can't be, like, taught. So they have to wait for a whole new generation of empaths to grow up.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're still in the clothing rooms.
Yep. So she arrives at the third murder scene, and we see that and this is where it gets truly silly. We haven't even gotten truly silly yet. We get truly, truly silly right now. We see that the killer has carved this man's butt cheeks from his body and sewn them to his chest.
Oh.
It's like the Bungalugs bum thing.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Or the day my bum went psycho. Yes.
Two classic Andy Griffith stories.
Yeah. Or there's that one episode of Community where Troy and Abed sew Pierce's butt to his chest, and he's like, but you've given me boobs. And they're like, yes, but we also switched your hands and your feet.
So you can't touch them.
Yeah, he can't touch them. He can only walk on them. Anyway, so she kind of, she's like, so what's the deal? She's talking to the lead detective from the local police, who's, you know, she's like, what's the deal? What can you tell me? And he starts in on the, well, this is a transsexual serial killer if I ever saw one. And Clarice takes this moment to be like, okay, wait, but why do you think that's the case? Why, what is it that you think that trans people want? Like, what is it that you think that they're after? Because I don't know if you've noticed, I don't know if you've ever seen a naked woman, but this looks nothing like boobs. It looks like a butt that's poorly attached to someone's chest.
I was just going to say, it does give us a chance to recontextualize the other very famous, trans-insulting line from Silence of the Lambs, he wants a vest with tits on, to, well, if there's one thing I know about trans people, they want a vest with butts on. Yeah.
And Clarice See is like, oh, I'm going to... and so the detective's like, so I think what we're looking for is like a weird looking man who will be like wearing women's clothing that doesn't fit and probably like wearing a wig cap, but like no wig on top of the wig cap, and we'll have like probably no eyebrows, and we'll like probably be like gaffer taping his balls. And then Clarice is like, hold on the fucking second. Are you describing Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club? And he's like, yeah, that movie. Yeah. We're looking for someone like that. And she's like, I don't think that's what we're looking for at all. You know what, buddy? I'm a trans woman. I don't look anything like that. You know, blah, blah, blah. But he's not listening. I just read the next bit and I'd forgotten that I'd written this. This is very silly. The detective's like, well, I think this butt fellow built his idea of the perfect woman. And he has to keep doing it again and again until he too can achieve this goal. At which point Clarice is like, you realize if the killer is transgender, you're also referring to her incorrectly. And he's like, yeah. But just what I'm saying is that this butt fellow built his idea of the perfect woman. And like someone who's like taking notes for him or whatever is like, can you repeat that, Jeff? And he's like, so I'm saying that this butt fellow built.
Yeah. Great.
And yeah, we see then the guy being like, right, got it. Yeah, he said Buffalo Bill. That's the name of the serial killer.
God.
Okay, so the next scene, we are back in Jackie Crawford's office, and this is the scene where Will and Hannibal meet. And much like Don't Psychoanalyze Me, You Wouldn't Like Me When I'm Psychoanalyzed, the scene from NBC Hannibal, again, Piers, this show's writing is so bad. That's unrelated. But they have a kind of immediately bristly relationship, but you can tell that it's also clearly filled with the most thirst. Will's kind of like, what's this guy doing here? I've never seen this guy before in my life. Like, what the hell? And Jackie's like, well, we've got three major cases on our hands right now. We've got the Finland Flesher, we've got Buffalo Bill, and we've got this new one, the guy who bit all the people. And we have Clarice Starling helping out with Buffalo Bill, but, you know, she can't do what you do. So we're just bringing in Dr. Lecter to, like, just, you know, just help us out a little bit. And it's like, what are you a doctor in?
He's like, I have a PhD. I did a queer analysis of Star Wars. It's technically an arts PhD. But...
no. Well, he's like, I'm a psychiatrist. I used to be a surgeon. Like, all of the actual stuff about the real Dr. Lecter. And it's like, look, you're just gonna, like, it's just, he's just here to help you out. He's just here to, like, bounce ideas off of, like, just, you know, let him help you. Lecter leaves the room and Will is kind of like, can you stop like trying to cramp my style? Like, and then also says like makes some comment about how camp Hannibal is. And Jackie's like, what camp? He's not gay, Will. He's just very refined. It's like, no, that was, I mean, he was,
he's not gay. He's rich.
Yeah. He's like European or something. It's like, he's literally not European.
Oh my God. Like, this is the song from Legally Blonde.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But he's like, no, that is the campest man I've ever seen. And Jackie's like, no. Trust me, Will. I know what camp is. Camp is like that guy Jared Leto at the Met Gala when he had his own seven head with him.
Oh, no.
Will's like,
Also, like, it's a shame that Billy Eichner can't play both roles, because the idea of Billy Eichner being like, he's not camp. If you throw a retractable pole in that boy, you can sleep under him for a week.
Oh,
and
my God.
Sorry, I feel like I should have established this earlier.
Yeah.
Who was Will having sex with, a man or a woman? What sexuality
he's
is Will?
A man. Oh, yeah, did I not? Will's gay. Will's fully openly gay.
Great, okay. That was not clear.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot to... Yeah, I mean, that's the undercurrent of all the conversations that he's had. So it's that thing where, like, when he's like, I think that the Flesher is some kind of repressed homosexual, it's also with the knowledge that he is himself unrepressed.
Okay.
A depressed...
And what end of the spectrum between, shall we say, the bullier and the bullyee was he in that sex scene?
The bullier and the bullyee.
You know how we said that Pierce was the bottom of this podcast.
he was bullying that man hard. bullying him real good. But
great.
He's versatile. He sometimes he can be bullied. You know. What?
That's what VERS stands for.
Yeah. Wait. Sorry.
Pierce. It's always nice that Pierce is learning.
Okay. I have to get to the end of this scene so that I can get to the next scene. So the kind of button on this scene is that Will is like, I don't know, he just kind of seems like he's a deeply repressed homosexual. And Jackie's like, oh, Will, you think everyone's a repressed homosexual. Next scene, I think there's a bit of yada yada in here. We probably cut back to Clarice doing her investigations. And then we come back to... we're at Hannibal's house. We're having dinner at Hannibal's house.
He's having an old friend for dinner.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, you know, this is so lovely. What kind of meat is this? And it's like, human lung. What do you think? Like that kind of, and they're like, oh, ha ha ha. You're so funny.
This is Hannibal and his friends, not Hannibal and Will.
No. Hannibal and Will and Jackie. And like, it's like the team, the
great.
Investigating.
Great.
You know how like Hannibal has Jack Crawford over in Hannibal.
Yeah, frequently, for no apparent
reason. Or like when he has the reporter over.
Yes.
And is just, and she's, and she doesn't even eat meat. And it's, anyway. So, you know, they're talking, and it's like, oh, you know, the meat's fantastic, you know. They start discussing the Flesher and discussing the fact that, you know, so like Will keeps trying to get into his theories. And Jackie's like, shh, 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 Will. You know, we're in polite company. We don't talk about the repressed homosexuals in polite company. But then they get to discussing the fact that they have organs missing. You know, like Will brings that up. It's like, what's the explanation for that? And Jackie's like, so what he's, you know, do we think he's like taking trophies? And Hannibal sarcastically goes, oh no, he eats them. What do you think? Like... he says everything. He's like, yeah, like I'm the killer, like And for some reason Will is the only person who's kind of picking up on that, and so at the end of the dinner it's that thing where like Will comes back to that thing where he's like, oh, you are gay, right? And Hannibal's like, oh, sure, yeah, I'm a big gay and I totally want to eat you because I want to divert my sexual my deviant sexual feelings towards you, Will. And Will's like, all right. And as he's leaving, notices a Tom of Finland poster. Because I'm getting into that thing that's in Red Dragon where Will notices the wound man.
Yes,
that's
yes.
On Dr. Lecter's... it's a drawing that matches a thing that one of the bodies was like. So yeah, he notices, and then we see we kind of get a flash of a recent Finland Flesher murder that recreates that exact one, and it's like the one with the sailor and the cop or something.
This is a great opportunity to have Hannibal being like, you know, some people think that Finland, you know, that it's not realistic, but I think he just, you know, draws what he sees. He draws people who are dummy thick and total Doritos. Mm-hmm. Tell me, Will, are you a Dorito or are you dummy thick?
Yeah, exactly.
He's
exactly.
Like, I don't know, Dr. Lecter. Why don't you tell me?
Why don't you tell me? And he's like, I don't know. I haven't looked at you. Yeah, like I look at your butt all the time. So yeah, we have that, and then we have a big old. This is a big old yada yada yada. We kind of jump forward in time a little bit.
Can there be a reference in this scene to the concept of eating ass? I feel like it has to come up.
It's not actually in the script.
These two men on this poster are like to eat their asses. Not metaphorically, literally.
Yeah. Well, there's also, you know, there's probably some confusion at one point where, like, you know, Will's probably like, wait, but what about this with the guy who's, like, carving out the butts? Like, what if that's the same guy, because like maybe he's into eating ass. Anyway, so yeah, yada yada yada. We're, you know, sort of maybe a month later or something like that. Will has worked out. Will believes that he has worked out who the killer that's been killing families in their homes is. And it's like, so he kills the families in their beds at night, sort of like a tooth fairy. Sort of like some kind of tooth fairy. And
so it's
like,
Dwayne
right,
the Rock
yes,
Johnson
that is what,
in
that
the
is
tooth
what
fairy.
Been, yeah, it's like, that is what we have been referring to the killer as. That's correct, Will. Will is like, so I'm thinking, you're looking for someone strong. Someone who's maybe had an athletic career, but something that would have led to an early retirement. Something that seemed something kind of violent. And someone pipes up and it's like, oh, but that's not consistent with the size of the bite marks. But he's on a roll. Will's on a roll. He's like, yeah, violent physical career. So a wrestler. Yes, yes. An ageling wrestler. A good guy who got tired of always being good. He's been in films, I think. Been in films, and a lot of them haven't been well received, but he's shown decent acting ability, and it's like, are you sure about this? And he's like, yes, 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 yes. I think he may even have been in a children's film, the title of which will directly connect to this crime. And everyone's like, oh my god. And it's like, call it in. And then we get a hard cut to them arresting none other than John Cena. He's like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And like after the fact, Charlie, Clarice,
this is the definition of an unexpected John Cena.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So after the fact, after the you know the dust is cleared, Clarice is kind of asking Jackie some questions about how it's like, how did you work out? And Jackie was like, well, the movie was Ferdinand, because you know bulls bite people.
Oh my god.
And she's like, really? Is that? Okay. And she talks
Charlie,
to...
Charlie, so much of this pitch is pun-based. You did not prepare us for this. This is a serial killer film that is also an adaptation of the entire extended Hannibal universe, premised around a series of elaborate puns that rely on your knowledge of the Hannibal universe and other things in the world.
Yeah. So if I, again, if I'd done the thing that I avoided doing, which was to write the entire fucking script out, because that's what I felt like I was, like, there would have been a lot more moments where Will fully just describes the plot of a movie with a serial killer in it, and then he's like, so it's going to be this kind of person, and, like, no one in the scene picks up on. But so in this one, so Clarice kind of finds Will and is like, you realize that you just tried to identify Dwayne The Rock Johnson as the killer because he made a film called The Tooth Fairy, right? And Will's like, well, but it turned out it was John Cena, so, you know, can't get them all. And Clarice is like, is this just what you do? You just, like, you base your judgments on a ridiculously specific knowledge of popular culture? And he's like, well, usually I base it on my morbid fascination with horror and true crime, but yes, generally speaking, I have an encyclopedic knowledge of weird pop culture facts. Anyway, how's your case going? And she's like, I looked up to you, you know, I thought you knew what the fuck you were talking about, you know, I like, what am I doing at the FBI? Like, you're just making this shit up as you go along. The psychiatrist they got in to help is clearly in love with you, and doesn't fucking know what he's talking about either. Plus, I think you might have done some of these murders. And Will's like, yeah, I've been thinking that as well. Cause he just, like, turns up at every single one of the crime scenes, and he's just like, hey, I was in the neighborhood. And she's like, anyway, we're talking about my thing now. You know, all of these fucking people. And then just everyone keeps fucking talking to me about Jared Leto. Because they think that all the crimes were done by trans women, and they only know Jared Leto. And so she gets, you know, kind of goes on a whole thing. And Will is like, look, I think you can, you know, maybe if we team up on this one, you know, like, I believe you. I believe that it's not a trans woman who did this. You know, I've been trying for ages to convince them that the Finland Flesher is a repressed gay, and they just keep trying to be like, yeah, but if you could blame it on the trans, that'd be great. I love that there's a conspiracy. There's a conspiracy in this version of the FBI where everyone's just like, let's try to blame it on the trans.
Just cut to someone buying something out of an FBI vending machine, and it gets caught when it's meant to fall, and they're like, goddamn trans women.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, it's set now because it has all of the now cultural references, but the politics is kind of a similar time with, like,
now
the Silence of the Lambs, the film.
Yeah. Which is
and also now, but like in terms of the fact that it's like transsexual and everyone's like, yes, they do murder.
Yeah, no, there's something intensely 90s about like, we're okay with one letter on the LGBTQIA spectrum, but the others still baffle and delude us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, like it was in the 80s that they removed homosexuality from the DSM.
But what and about a whole bunch of people at the actual FBI had to be like, oh, fuck, shit, I've been profiling people based on this.
I guess the gays aren't crazy anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And like,
But they put in, what would they have called it then? Gender identity disorder, I guess is what they called it.
Yeah, so all these hack profilers like tearing up their profiles, being like, it's got to be the gays, instead of being like, it's got to be the...
Ooh, trans.
A fun new thing to worry about.
Yeah, so then we get another yada yada. This is we're getting to the crux of everything now. We're like three scenes from the end. Mm-hmm. So there's been there's been more of the Finland Fleischer murders, and we see that directly correlates to how often Hannibal and Will have been spending time together, you know, in the course of solving cases, like
two bros chilling in a hot tub.
Yeah, two bros chilling at a crime scene.
They're chilling in a hot tub.
5 feet apart because one of them is gay and wants to eat the other one.
No, they're chilling in a hot tub and Hannibal is just slicing onions and carrots and putting them in the hot tub.
Oh no, this hot tub
will stew.
He's going to sous vide him.
It was a pot the whole time.
Yeah. Now that's what I call a pot twist. Anyway.
So wait, are they going around solving other murders that happen to be happening?
Yeah, I think they have to, it's like the solving of murders that we get in the extended adventures of Hannibal and Will. The murder gays. But so Will seems to have finally convinced people to kind of let him try out his theory of it's a repressed gay. And so they have to go to a gay club. And
where else will you find some gays? They sure as hell don't just hang out like normal people.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we gotta go to a gay club. Will's like, yep, we have to go to a gay club. That's what we're gonna find. And Clarice is like, I am also coming. And it's like, why are you? And like Hannibal's like, okay, cool. Well, I guess I'll let you guys take that one. It's like, no, Hannibal, you have to come as well. This scene would have a Troye Sivan cameo, because I don't know, he'd be performing. But it's just it's twink galore. At the club.
I thought that was the name of the club. Yeah, 100%.
No, the name of the club is Eat Ass. Something
just,
like,
oh, a club
like
made just for me.
No, it's got to be something like Devour or like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And Hannibal looks up at it and says, oh, a club named after my favorite hobby.
Food. Definitely.
Yeah,
food.
Yeah. And Will's like, oh, you like to eat food, Hannibal, Dr. Lecter? And he's like, yes, food, by which I mean human flesh, like yours, Will. Anyway, after you, into this club.
But yeah, so they're in the club, and like effectively what would happen is that like Hannibal would get overwhelmed, and he has a, you know, a little bit of a panic.
Little nibble.
Like, no, well, no. So at this point, because also through all of this, like part of the reason why he's been killing more is because he's realized that he doesn't actually really want to eat Will. He's like in love with Will, and it's getting harder to deny that. So he leaves and he's like outside, and you know, Will kind of comes out and consoles him, and it's like, what's going on? Like let me help you, like, you know, you've helped me with solving so many of these crimes, like, you know, let me help you this time. And then this is where we get the quote that I hit you with in the cold open. And you know, Hannibal talking about the feeling like he's like trapped inside this kind of monster's body, but like he wants to be set free, and like, you know, if I kissed you on the mouth, would I be set free? And Will's like, yeah, you can kiss me on the mouth, but please don't bite. Like the song. And obviously then so they kiss, and it's like, oh, what a romantic moment.
And then Hannibal Lecter eats him.
No. And then they have some very, you know, very enthusiastic, consensual, you know, love of my life sex. And you're like, wait, what? I thought this was going to be, you know, isn't this the, you know.
I thought this was entrapment.
Yeah.
That's what cops do to thieves.
This serial killer film has been pretty, like, pretty low on the like the death and stuff. Because it's not what it's really about. Yada, yada, yada. And now
wait, but
we have...
But they were all at the gay bar, and now the two of them have just gone home and left Clarice at the gay bar?
Yeah, Clarice does. But so because
Clarice
so
drove this is,
this
from
is
what
Will's
plan.
Clarice
no, this is what Will's
plan. She drove me here. She drove me here. She drove me here.
No, but so because like when Will and Clarice are kind of like, I think we can help each other out. Basically, he's been like, so I think Hannibal is gay, and I'm like a zillion percent sure that he's the Finland Flesher. And she's like, yeah, I have thought that as well. And it's like, but I think if he just fucking gets laid, he'll stop wanting to kill men. And she's like, yeah, that's yeah. And so, he's like, so you don't, you like, you're not going to feel conflicted about not then reporting him and having him be arrested. And she's like, honestly, I fucking hate the FBI. I fucking hate all of this. I don't even know why I became a cop. Cops are fucking shit. We have our ACAB moment. But so like Will's intent in that scene wasn't really to like potentially find the killer. It was the fact that he's like, I need to get this man to like, you know, I need to force this man to admit to himself that he's a big old gay. Anyway, so we got another little kind of time jump. This is kind of where we're now at the resolution of the film. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what? I thought there was going to be some kind of, you know, extended sequence where the lights have been turned off and Clarice is walking around with a gun. But what it is Clarice is like, we found him. Oh yeah, it's also at some point in this, we've gotten a montage where people just, it's like where the investigators just keep bringing up people that look like Jared Leto. like literally just people who, so like, you know, we get a Jake Gyllenhaal cameo, and we get a Zac Efron cameo. Because both those guys look like Jared Leto. But so she's like, no, I finally got it. I've found who it is. And I haven't really worked out exactly how this works. And also, this is dumb, and I will accept punch-ups, although I don't think I'm going to get them, because like I said, this is very dumb. But so she, you know, it's like, you know, we've got him, you know, they show up at just a random, you know, house in the suburbs, and who should open the door but Ted Levine.
Yes.
Who played Buffalo Bill in, but just as himself. And it's like, you know, you're under arrest for the murder of all these fucking, like all these fucking different people. And it turns out in a, you know, you get in like a, in an interview scene that, basically they work out that the reason he's been killing people in such a way, and like putting their butt onto their chest is because he was, I'm delaying because this is really, I don't know how to say it with it serious. Basically, he was born with nipples on his butt and has been made fun of for his whole life. And he's like, it's like no one ever thought to turn over the bodies. They would have seen, they would have seen my mark. Because what he's done is that he, when he's removed the butt, he's then also put, like, he's put the chest onto where the butt was.
And no one
he's
looked?
Like, I want everyone to feel my pain of having...
So this is the real man, Ted Levine.
I mean, at this point, like, honestly, it wouldn't matter.
I thought the implication was that this real man is being implied to have some bizarre deformity that causes him to kill in a world where presumably the film Silence of the Lambs does not exist, so he never became an actor. Because I guess in this world, every film exists except the Hannibal franchise. So Ted Levine never got cast in Silence of the Lambs. He never went on to be the captain in Monk. And so, you know, he never made it.
He never made enough money
to get it fixed.
To get his butt nips removed.
He could mention that there was this big serial killer film he was up for in 91, but then it all fell through, and that money would have paid to fix the nipple butt.
Yes, yeah.
And Monk was made with Mads Mikkelsen as the captain.
Yes.
Tony Shalhoub and Mads Mikkelsen solving crimes ran for 6 seasons.
I mean, I'd watch it. Tell me, Mr. Monk.
Tell me, Mr. Monk. You want the scene to be clean, but that cleanness may prevent you from solving the crime. Would you rather be perfectly clean or be messy?
But messy, but right. And Monk is like,
I don't know, Dr. Lecter. I've got to go.
Oh,
Hannibal
no.
And Monk.
So we've arrested Ted Levine.
Yes, we've arrested Ted. And now we get kind of...
Well, he's better off Ted, really.
Yeah.
Is what they say as they throw him in the paddy wagon.
And so we get, you know, like a celebratory kind of like, you know, Jackie's like, well done, team. We solved all the crimes. All the crimes are done.
But they haven't solved half the crimes. They've solved one third of the crimes.
Yeah, but they've stopped.
No, solved two thirds of the crimes because John Cena went down for someone else's.
Oh, yeah, John Cena was.
For Dwayne The Rock Johnson's crimes.
John Cena was the tooth fairy. Ted Levine is butt forward Bill. And Hannibal is Hannibal.
He's butt fellow Bill.
Cool. Butt feeler Bill. And Hannibal, as the arse eater, has also gone down.
I'm about to get to that. Jackie's like, we solved all the crimes. And someone pipes up and is kind of like, well, what about the Finland Flesher? And it's like, well, I mean, he's not killed anyone in 3 months. So, I don't know. I guess he stopped. And, you know, Will says something cryptic like, maybe he just didn't feel the need to kill anymore. Maybe he came out. And everyone's like, oh, you and your repressed homosexual theory. Anyway, good job, team. Like, literally, like, all the crimes are solved. Let's go home. Like, the FBI just stops when they solve all crimes.
Well, time to abolish the FBI, I guess.
I mean, maybe, yeah, I would love it if this film existed in a universe where once you solve all the crimes, you just get rid of the cops and the FBI. Yeah. That's the best ending to this that I could. But so you get then Will and Hannibal are kind of alone. And Hannibal's like, look, I have to tell you something. I just can't, like, I can't live with the knowledge of what I've done anymore. The Finland Flesher, that was me. And Will's like, yeah, no, I know. And Hannibal's like, what? He's like, yeah, I worked that out. Like, I was pretty sure, like, the second I met you, and then when I saw the sailor and the cop sketch in your house, I was, like, absolutely certain.
And then when you explicitly told me 30 times in that Billy Eichner voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you do that thing in films where they flash back to something that happened 20 minutes ago, and it's Billy Eichner going, oh, it's me, I'm the Finland Flesher.
I killed all those guys.
What are you going to do, Will? Arrest me? Oh, no, yeah. I did the crimes.
Yeah, and you know, they're kind of talking back and forth, and like Billy Eichner, Hannibal is like, I mean, did you like the murders though? Like, did you think they were like good serial murders? And Will's kind of like, yeah, I mean, I like the one where you recreated the sketch with the naked man and the lumberjack with the open shirt, but the rest are like, you know, it was very obvious. Because also at some point, I think we have to have established that, like, Will is wise to Hannibal's thing, where it's like, you know, when you're nervous and you're lying, you just revert to sarcasm and you say the thing. Like, we need to have him acknowledge that at some point for this next thing. It's like, did you ever? I guess I'm just curious. Did you ever want to eat me, Hannibal? And Hannibal's like, oh, yeah, sure, Will. I wanted to what, like, grind you up in my very expensive food processor and then roll you in breadcrumbs because you're my delectable little rissole, Will? Yeah, sure. That makes sense. And Will's like, okay, I may never sleep again, but this is fine. Clarice kind of enters the scene again and is like, well, I done solved the murder. You just told Hannibal that you know that he's the Flesher. And Hannibal's like, what? And it's like, yeah, no, I knew as well. We talk a lot.
Pretty obvious.
Yeah, I know everything about you, Hannibal. And it's kind of like, what's next, you know? Now that you don't have to murder anymore because you're openly gay, like, what's next for you? And Hannibal's kind of thoughtful and he's like, well, there is one person that I do still kind of want to kill. And Clarice is like, I think I know who you're talking about. And I think I'm in. And so then we get a coda. They're on a private jet to an island in the middle of nowhere, tiny little island, beautiful. Walk through the island. Everyone there is wearing, like, you know, very, very cult-looking kind of white, loose kind of hemp clothing. They walk through, you know, to the, like, the center of the island where there's, like, a little, you know, hut or something. And they walk in and we don't come inside with them. We just hear, like, you know, oh, hey, what are you... oh, actually, no, we do have to go inside we go inside and we see a figure, with long, long hair, who turns around.
Oh my God.
And who should, who should we see?
His own head.
No. It turns around and who could it be? It's Jared Leto.
Yes.
But this is Charles, I had to hold off.
Yeah? If Jared Leto is being played by Eddie Redmayne, I'm going to throw this fucking computer
No. This is because I went for accuracy of look rather than irony. The actual Jared Leto will be played in this film by Courtney Cox in drag.
Holy shit.
Oh my god.
I'll just wait for that to sink in for all of you. Courtney Cox in drag. Courtney Cox with a beard is Jared Leto. Turns around and it's like, oh, you found me. And, you know, like all of that kind of thing. And then we cut to the three of them leaving the island with Jared Leto / Courtney Cox with a beard's severed head and Finn.
And that's Finn. Camp.
And now that's what I call camp.
John Waters, call me. Would love to get this thing off the ground.
Hey, where could John Waters contact you?
If John Waters wants to work with me in the future, or Ryan Murphy even, they can find me on Twitter at GarlsOChady. What about you, Tansy?
I'm on Twitter at Tansy Clipboard. Pierce?
I'm also on that place at my name, at Pierce Indeed. Sorry, I'm still reeling. I'm still reeling from this whole experience, which...
I don't have an out to this. Thank you for listening. Oh yeah, if you enjoyed this, give us a like, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We are also on Stitcher, we are on Pocket Cast, and we are on SoundCloud. You can follow us on Twitter at PitchShiftPod. You can follow us on Instagram also at PitchShiftPod. And if you want to yell at me about whether or not this is camp, you can email pitchshiftpodcast@gmail.com.
You know,
I look forward to hearing from gay academic Pierce's friend Chris Hay.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned camp, because camp is such a formative experience of leaving the home for even just a few days to define yourself solely amongst your peers while sleeping in small cabins together, picking a bunk. Tell me, Will, are you a top or bottom?
Well, Dr. Lecter, I consider myself versatile.
Kiss me on the mouth and say, me free, sing me like a choir. I can be the subject of your dreams, your sickening desire. Don't you want to see a man up close, a phoenix in the fire? So kiss me on the mouth and set me free, but please don't bite.